Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses.
We forgive those
that trespass against us.
Lead us not
into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For yours is the kingdom,
the power and the glory, and ever and ever. Amen.
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 It means that you're talking to God. It's talking to God.
God wants to know what's happening with us. He's concerned.
To pray to God.
It means I get to talk to God for a minute or two.
To talk to Jesus.
It means like you're talking to God and God can hear you.
And he wants to know how we're doing.
To thank God.
I prayed for my friend when he was sick.
My house.
Our family.
I thank God for the blessings and all the food and water.
Sometimes if I'm struggling, I ask him to help me.
For loving people, my pets,
and toys and food.
Like what we eat and how God blessed us with clothes.
Love.
Don't go to the principal's office.
Pretty much everything.
Well, my mom usually gets better if I'm praying.
I don't know.
Saying amen afterwards.
He listens, then he does.
I prayed for my dog to be healed, and he healed. So.
He shows it in what we do.
Ice cream.
He listens to us.
That's all.
The innocence of a child, right? What a blessing, what a blessing. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity, Brother Adam, to come and share. It's mixed emotions every time I get to stand up here. Excitement, terror, cold chills, goosebumps, almost anything you can come up with. And it's not always just because you're standing in front of a crowd. It's because you're trying to share what God's Word truly means. And I hope this morning that you leave here today with a nugget more than you had when you came in. Not because of anything I've done, but because of the God we serve and His life-giving Word. So with that, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to be with my family this morning, Lord, my church family, and Lord, the opportunity to open your word together and just explore it. And Lord, I pray that you move me out of the way. Lord, I also pray that we respond according to that which you'd have us to do. And Lord, that when we leave this place today, we're walking closer to you than we have before we came in. It's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So, how many of you have heard the Lord's Prayer before? Can you remember the first time you've heard it? Probably very young, right? How many of you have it completely memorized? Most of us, right? And we've recited it for different things, and we could probably go back and recall that very first time we did, or the circumstance it was. Some have been taught to recite it before they go to bed as a child. Some have learned it even through opportunities that weren't closely related to the church, because the world knows the Lord's Prayer. Well, this morning, what I want us to do is want us to look at it and apply it a little bit to Jesus' life, and see if there's any correlation with the way Jesus prayed and the way Jesus lived his life. And God has revealed some things to me this week that I hope I can communicate effectively, but it's definitely helped me in my prayer life when I think about what he's shown me this week. And before we dive in, I want to say thank you for being here this morning. It's always a pleasure to have you in the house of the Lord, and we are so very glad that you're here. And we look forward to diving into the Word together. So if you are able and willing, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. Do I need to adjust something? All right, just checking. All right, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who is seen, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Father, we thank you again for your word. Lord, I pray that each and every time we open it, that it speaks directly to our hearts and we respond according to your will. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. So what I'd like for us to do today, we're going to look at five different elements that are listed here in the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to break them down. We're going to look at some of the roadblocks that maybe keep us from responding, or especially in my life. And if it applies to yours, that's even better. And then also, again, how Jesus lived his life and how it applied. And we will go from there. So in verse 9, we see the first thing. This then is how you should pray. Honor our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Honor and reverence God is how I summarize that verse. Honor and reverence God. We live in a society where we are given accolades, where we are praised, where we receive glory, where we receive credit. And it's so hard for us to step beside that and say, the credit goes to God. I'm guilty of it. Many of us are guilty of it as we go through life because we as humans have this thing inside us that desires to be praised by others. Remember when you were a child, what it was like for someone to say, you did a great job. Or for those of us who are employed, when your boss comes in and says, that was awesome. I'm proud of you. You did so good, we're going to promote you, or we're going to give you a raise, or you're going to get a bonus, you know, whatever that is. We welcome that. We love to hear, good job. We love to get those attaboys, right? And so often, we get so much of that, or even if we don't, we desire it so much that when we do something good, the last thing we want to do is give it away, right? And that's one thing when we're praying to God, when we look at how Jesus teaches us to pray, we need to give honor and reverence to God because He's the one who gives everything to us. We only have because He first gave, right? We live in a society that is all about me and what I want and what I can do or what you can do for me. And so often in my life, that infiltrates my prayer life. It's gimme, 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 gimme. Or God, do this. God, do that. As opposed to saying, God, whatever your will is. You are who you are. You're going to do what you're going to do. And I trust you. I have faith that you've got this under control. If we look at Jesus' life, you can turn there or you can listen, totally up to you. In Matthew chapter 11. Verses 25 through 27, it says, "At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. You see, in this statement, Jesus is giving all glory and all honor and all praise for the success that has happened before this to God. And that is how we ought to in our prayer as well. We ought to give honor and glory and praise and reverence the name of the Lord our God. In our personal lives, for those of you who know or don't know, we're currently building a structure on our land, and we're trying to do this debt-free. And I've been sharing with folks, I've spent more time praying this year than I can ever recall spending time praying before, because this is a rather hefty investment, and it's a big step of faith. And there is a walking path around the exterior of this structure where each morning I get out and I walk around it, and I pray for the structure, I pray for the safety, I pray for the provision. But more importantly, I pray that God will use it for His glory, that He will take this structure and bless others through it. And not only this structure, but the other structure that's on our acre of land, that God will use that for His glory. And that's a hard prayer to pray, because we've waited so long for this. It's a desire of our heart. But it is truly God who is giving that. It's nothing we can do on our own. And there's hundreds of testimonies around this that we could share just in the 6 months that we've been working on this. And I hope to get to share with those with you some of those over the course of time. But I want to encourage you, if you step back and look at your prayer life, when you look at the things that you need, the things that you have, the things that you desire, the sins that you want to overcome, I truly believe that step one is honoring and reverencing God, because He's the only one that has the power. He's the only one that has the ability to bless us. And it's only because of Him that we have any at all. The second thing, in verse 10, it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When you got up this morning, what was the first thing you thought about? Don't say it out loud. Many of us, it was, there's not life until coffee, right? In my case, it's Dr. Pepper. At night when you go to bed, what's the last thing you think about? Many of us flip over and we grab our smart device or the paper calendar and we say, okay, this is what I have to get up and do tomorrow. Oh, I forgot about that. Now I got to get up 30 minutes earlier. If you were to go back and evaluate or have somebody comb through your finances, would there be something set aside for the kingdom? Would there be evidence in your finances that you're kingdom-minded, as our vision states, right? Advancing the kingdom. What about your other resources? What radio stations are preset on your car radio? What movies, if we were to comb through your movie bank at the house, what movies would you have? I'll admit, I still have Tombstone. Love Tombstone. What's Doc's favorite line? I'm your Huckleberry. That's right. One of my favorite shows. In fact, one of my good college and high school friends gave us a VHS. For those of you who are younger than me, a VHS has a tape in it. And you stick it in this thing, and it eats it every now and then. But it does play movies. But a friend of mine gave us Tombstone as a wedding gift. And we continually watch it, as well as White Christmas, normally on an annual basis. But if we were to go back and look at your movies, if we were to look at all of our songs, the presets, if we were to look at that collection of T-shirts that are hanging in your closet, or go through your web browser, or mine, what would we see? Would it be kingdom-centered? What about our attitudes? I'm guilty. I love the mornings. Nobody else in my household loves the mornings. I love the mornings, but I don't like the evenings. And the evenings don't like me. And sometimes my family is not so much the beneficiary of my evenings when I'm so tired. One evening this week, or one day this week, was about 22 and a half hours long. And it's been a long time since I've done that. But the next morning was not good, because even though I'm a morning person, I was still tired. So what is our attitudes, even when we're weak, even when our guards are down? Are they kingdom-minded? We see that here in the Lord's Prayer. We need to desire God's kingdom and His will. So what about Jesus? Matthew 18 says, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is straying? If it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 which have not gone astray. So it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." In John 4, right after the encounter with the Samaritan woman, "Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat that you do not know about.' So the disciples were saying to one another, 'No one brought him anything to eat, did he?' Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work.'" That was Jesus' passion. That was Jesus' desire. For those of us who are Christians in the room, that should be our passion and our desire, to do the will of the Father, to be kingdom-minded. This week, I issued a challenge to the students. Wednesday happened to be that 22-and-a-half-hour day, and I was not in town. I was out of town, but I was with my brother. I got to go listen to him teach, and got to totally take over his Sunday school class, which he was grateful, but I did not intend to do that. But I felt like a student getting to sit under somebody else's teaching, and we had a great discussion with some teenage boys that were in his youth group. But I got to do that for the first time, and I was so proud of my little brother. But since I wasn't going to be here Wednesday night, I issued a challenge. And unfortunately, they didn't get it till Thursday, because I'm not so good at technology every now and then. GroupMe is a little challenging when you don't do it the right way. But I issued them a challenge. We had 7 camp T-shirts this year. We had 6 total. Melissa made 5 of them, and we all matched. Each and every day, we wore our camp shirt. She had it laid out. You'll see some of them. Jonah has one on this morning. I don't see any others this morning. But we had 6 total, and we had specific days we were going to wear them. And so I challenged the students this week, since we weren't going to meet on Wednesday night, to go find somebody in their circle, in a community, wherever they were this week, and get a selfie with them, somebody they didn't know, and their camp shirt. And I'm happy to say we had a couple of responses back. Levi, are you ready? And there's one of them. And I'm so proud. And the reason this comes up is not because of the challenge I issued. Dane's already blushing, and I apologize. But Dane and his family were at an AutoZone, and this young man was working on his vehicle. So they left the AutoZone, went and got him a big bottle of water, and brought it back to him and gave it to him, because it was hot this week. And then, of course, he asked him, "Hey, can we take a selfie?" Right? He accepted the challenge and went out and did that. Sensitivity to the Spirit about kingdom things. On Thursday evening, I was coming back into town, and Rebecca will tell you, I'm a stickler about there being enough gas in the car. And I was tired. It had been a long day. After that long day Wednesday, we had our annual Six Flags Day. I dreaded 365 days a year until we leave the park, and then I'm excited until we go back again, right? But it was a great day with the family in the heat. We're coming back into town. I thought, I'm tired. I don't want to stop at the store. And I just felt this overwhelming need that I needed to pull in. And I thought it was just to get gas. And I pulled in to a quick stop, and there was one other person there, and that person just happened to be walking through the parking lot, and we had an encounter. And God was honored in that encounter. We got to talk about Jesus. We got to talk about who he was in each of our lives. Thankfully, this person was a Christian, and we just had a wonderful conversation that person needed to have and that I needed to have. I just didn't realize it until that moment. But sensitivity to the Spirit about kingdom things, right? Making every moment count. One other thing, I want to brag on our pastor. The students don't even know this, I don't think, other than the prayer you prayed before we left. I didn't tell you I was going to say this. I hope you're okay with that. Cat's out of the bag now. But we're loading up to leave the van, and this is the first time I've had a pastor pray this way about a youth trip. He prayed that we would have encounters on the way to and from camp. I lost count at 6 on the encounters that we had. People that we wouldn't even think cared about Jesus came up to us because of the shirts we were wearing, and we had an encounter. But I truly believe a lot of it can be attributed to the sensitivity of the Spirit for Brother Adam and what he prayed for our youth group. That's not even counting when we got to camp and did the mission trip. This was just on the road to and from. One of them, and I'm ashamed to say, one of them, we stopped in Childress to get gas on the way back. Loose Childress, maybe in Quanah, and we had an issue with the van tire, and we were evaluating it, and so I just took my pickup and trailer and just pulled it over to the side, close to the van, so we could do it and work on it. And one of the kids spoke up and said, "Hey, you're blocking a guy in." And there was a guy backed in. I never did see him. And I back up my pickup, and I signal at him, and I wave. This is 8 hours into a 12-hour drive home. I wave, "Come on, come on, come on," and he just kind of looks up and looks back down. I'm like, "Really?" And I just, you know, we all do this. "Man, I'm giving you the opportunity. Won't you come on?" Well, come to find out, the guy's a Christian. He's an ex-war vet, and he came up and said, "I'm so proud of you guys. Keep doing what you're doing." I'm over here going, "Are you kidding me? The one guy I call out and get frustrated at happens to be a Christian, happens to be a vet, and then he prays for our students." Like, thank you, Lord. I understand my attitude is important whenever I'm around people. Right? But because of the prayers that were prayed, we had the opportunity to see things from a kingdom perspective. Verse 11, "Give us today our daily bread." God provides for all of our needs, period. We can debate all you'd like. He provides for every one of your needs, hands down. Not a doubt in my mind. If we have confessed Jesus as Lord, aren't our needs taken care of? No matter how much pain we're in, no matter how much we feel like the bottom's falling out of it, no matter how much we feel alone, if you have Jesus, it's done. My problem becomes is when I get to take my eyes off of Jesus long enough to look around me, and I get so focused on the issues at hand that I forget that Jesus is Lord of my life. In Matthew 6, very common passage for almost all of us, starting in verse 25, it says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, or what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor for your body, as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life?" Now some may say, well, Travis, really? God, he doesn't worry about the small things. I truly believe he does. I don't think it would be in Scripture if he didn't. There's a book out there on prayer, and the VP of our North Texas operations heard that I was going to be getting to speak on prayer this morning, and he said, hey, I got this study. I never put my iPad in my truck. He said, but I did today. Come by my office. So I come by his office, and he pulls out this book on his iPad, and he's flipping through, and all these things are highlighted. He said, I want to show you this. Maybe you can use it. And I'm going, information overload. Just hold on a second. And he said, but I want you to see. So we go through it. And he gets to this point, and it's this story. And the question's asked, does God care about the small things? And this guy in this setting says, think about a parking spot. Does God really care if you find a parking spot close to the door of your favorite place to eat, your favorite place to shop? Does God really care? And this lady stood up and spoke up and said, well, if you don't pray, how else are you going to find a parking spot? She truly believed that in everything, we go to God, we petition God. No matter how small, no matter how silly it may be, God is our Father. God is our Father, and He's going to provide. Now, there's a struggle with that because many of us have been in those situations where we're like, well, God, if you're going to provide, why did you let me get here? And we live in a fallen world. And I don't know about you, but I make poor decisions sometimes that get me in a bind, that get me in a place where God didn't really want me to be anyways. And it's when I finally turn back to Him and allow Him to take control that He's able to take that control. And He's able to bring me up out of the muck and the mire. Okay? The fourth thing. This is where it gets a little gray at times. But you'll see in verse 12, forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us as we've forgiven others, another way to say it. What hinders us from forgiving others? Well, in my own personal assessment, I haven't forgiven people in the past because they hurt me. I haven't forgiven people in the past because I have the right not to forgive them. It's my personal right. I because of my pride, I don't want to forgive them. I'll forgive them if they'll forgive me. I don't even like them anyways. Why do I need to forgive them? Right? And there's probably others out there. There may be some that you can associate with and some that you may not be able to. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus said to His disciples, it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be easier for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. That's tough. That's tough teaching right there, to continue to forgive. Continue to forgive. But we get under this impression that if we hold on to it, we'll get justice. Luke 23, verses 33 and 34. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. These are the same people that day after day after day were looking for a way to find a, looking for a way to trap Jesus, looking for a way to pin Jesus, looking for a way to trick Jesus. And they ended up hanging him on a cross. And this is what he said, "Father, forgive them." I struggle forgiving the small things here on this earth. I can't imagine saying those words from a cross. But that's what God expects us to do. He expects us to forgive. This week I had the opportunity to see everybody in my immediate family, minus one or two, due to the nature of some of the conversations I had to have around my grandfather's estate. And so in each of those conversations, it had a different dynamic. And it was a blessing every time. And this is the first time I've ever done this. Each one of those conversations, I opened up in prayer. Because I knew I couldn't do it on my own. I knew things were sensitive. And I had to be mindful of how I said them. What my facial expression was when they responded. Because I didn't want to send the wrong message. But in two of those conversations, I was able to talk about my mom. For those of y'all who don't know, she's incarcerated. Erin will be around 32 before she ever gets out from the state of North Carolina. And in two of those conversations, I was able to say, I have forgiven my mom. And I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I have truly forgiven her for anything and everything. And I love her. I wouldn't be here today if God had not provided my mom. I have truly forgiven her. Now, does that mean that I throw caution to the wind? Does that mean that I'm haphazardly going to send her the things that are going to enable her to do more harm to herself? No. But I don't hold any of that against her. And if she has a need, I would be there. Because I've truly forgiven her. The final thing in this passage, verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. What tempts you and I? That's kind of a scary question, right? What temptations are out there? We live in a society where we're completely bombarded. We are completely overwhelmed. In one of those encounters this week with a family member, I was able to sit and visit, but the significant other of this family member spent the whole 4 hours that we were talking playing a game on their phone. The whole 4 hours. It's become so consuming of the things that our society sends to us. The most latest and greatest is what, Jonah? Is it Fortnite? One of the latest and greatest? You guess? There was a lot of them playing it when we stopped at the church in Amarillo on the way through. But Fortnite is the latest and greatest, and the teens love it. There's this dinosaur hunting game that they were playing while we were going down the road. We'd come into this big city, and they'd say, "Well, there's a T-Rex," and they'd start shooting it from their phone, and it's amazing, I think. But our society continues to bombard us with stuff. And there's temptations around every corner. And if we're not careful, we fall into those. For those of us who are older, the temptation may be around a business deal. Maybe to edge right on that line saying, it's probably okay this time. Maybe that temptation is not to stand for Jesus in the workplace. Well, I'll lose that promotion if I don't, or if I say anything about who my Lord is. If there's something that's lucrative to us, or we think it is, we may fudge and fall into temptation. Temptation can be something as simple as food, or or drink, or maybe even something that just pleases the body. In Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, a very familiar passage, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he became hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." And he led him up and showed him all the kingdom of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Verse 9, and he led him to Jerusalem, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and their hands will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. You see, Jesus, the Son of God, was tempted, but yet was without sin. We're going to face temptation. But if we pray and we seek God and say, "God, there's things that are tempting me. Please help me to turn away from that temptation," I believe he will do it. There's a series we're watching, and for those of you who haven't leveraged the Right Now Media that the church provides, I want to encourage you to do so. There are some awesome series out there. Right now, the students and I, we're going through a study on the Woodlawn movie, right? And for those of you who haven't seen it, it's a football movie filmed late 60s, early 70s, when there was still racial issues going on in the Deep South. And this Bible study is pointed at it, and it's focused somewhat on racism, but it's focused more on what should we be like as a Christian. As we watched it this morning, there was an illustration given by the teacher. And he said, there's a book out there, and I don't remember who the author was, and he said he had five chapters. Chapter one was, I'm walking down the road, and I don't see this big old hole, and I fall into it. And it takes me a while to climb out. Chapter two is, I'm walking down this road, and I see this hole, and I fall into it, and it takes me a while to get out. The third chapter is, I'm walking down this road, and I know the hole is there, but I fall into it, and I get out a little bit faster. And the fourth chapter is, I'm walking down this road, and I see this hole, and I know I could fall into it, so I'll walk around it. And he said the fifth chapter is, I didn't walk down that road because I knew there was a hole there. I chose a different path. You see, so often we go through and we bring ourselves up against temptation. We take it right to the brink because we enjoy sin. I enjoy sin. Sin's fun. Satan's led us to believe that sin is fun, that being a Christian is boring, that living for God is you have to follow the rules. When you experience God, you don't want any of that mess. And so often we flirt with temptation like a hole in the road. And every time we fall into it, it's not enough to keep walking that same path. Oh, but I can witness to somebody who's standing at the hole fixing to fall in. No, you're not strong enough to do that if it's something that is so strong of a temptation for you. It is only by the power of God that you can overcome. But we also have to make a choice. We also have to say, God, show me the path to take. And if that's going to lead me to temptation, then help me choose a different path. To me, that's the passion in this. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with temptation will be provided the way to escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. The last time you and I were tempted, did you look for a way out? Did I look for a way out? I've got one specific example in mind, and I was looking for a way out. And then I was ashamed, and I went to God and said, God, I should not have went down that road. But thank you for providing a way out. You see, so often there's a way out, but we never look for it because we're wrapped up in the temptation. And Jesus is saying in this prayer, don't even go there. Ask God for wisdom to not even go there. As we look at that whole passage there, verses 9 through 13, specifically as we've heard the Lord's Prayer, one thing that stood out this week as I prepared is how much it mimics the remainder of Jesus' teachings. In Matthew 22, beginning in verse 24, it says, or 34, but when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. When you compare that passage to the Lord's Prayer, you're going to see amazing correlation, awesome synergies. Because if we will make the Lord the center of all that we do, if we will make Him our desire and our passion, our prayer life will change forever. Because we're praying for the right things. We're praying, God, Your name be honored. God, Your will be done. God, provide me what I need to do, Your will, because I've already prayed that Your will be done. God, help me to forgive those. And God, please help me not to fall into temptation. Lead me where You want me to go. You see, when we get our relationship right with God, praying becomes the greatest wireless connection. To use terms from our society today, the greatest wireless connection. One last story and we will be dismissed. When I was a high school student, freshman through senior year, I wasn't raised in church. I accepted Jesus my freshman year. But one thing we did before every football game, after every football game, before every basketball game, after every basketball game, is we recited the Lord's Prayer. We gathered in a circle as teenage boys with our coaches. We held hands and we recited the prayer. 4 years. 8 seasons. I said the same words that we looked at this morning. But that's the problem. I said the same words that we looked at this morning. Even though I was a Christian, God was not at the center of who I was or what I was doing. I was still living a life. Even though part of me had changed, even though these big things had changed, there were still things in my life that needed to get gone. And so my question for you this morning as you leave and as you go and have lunch with family or friends and you begin a new week, where are you at in your prayer life? Are you honoring God? Are you seeking out His will? Are you asking Him to provide the needs that you have to complete His will? Are you forgiving others? And are you praying that He doesn't lead you into temptation? It doesn't have to be a memorized prayer. It doesn't have to be a recited prayer. It just has to be conversation between you and God. And allow Him to move in your life. Put Him at the center of all that you are, all that you do, and let Him lead and guide, direct your steps. It will change your life. Father, I thank You for the opportunity this morning to open Your Word. Lord, I continue to pray, Lord, that Your words will resonate in our hearts. Lord, that we will respond according to Your will. Lord, I thank You for what You taught me this week. And Lord, I continue to seek You out so that I can grow in my relationship with You. Father, I thank You for our church. I thank You for my church family and their willingness to let me share from my heart. Father, I pray if there's anybody in here that doesn't know You as Lord and Savior, Lord, that today they will make that decision. Lord, maybe there's other Christians in here who are like me who need help. Lord, who need somebody to walk beside them and pray with them and for them. Lord, I pray that we don't leave this morning until we do what You've called us to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
My Jesus, I love Thee. I know.